when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, everybody, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. If you're listening to Blood River Radio, you probably already knew that. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. And you know, people, it's not Saturday the 27th. This is Tuesday, November the 23rd, in the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2021, the only name under the sun which man can be saved. And so what we're doing, we're recording this show because Sam and Cam and I and you people out there, we have lives and we have people, relatives we have to go visiting all over across the United States. So Sam has to be on the road. Matter of fact, he's going down to see little Cameron, little 19-year-old engineer who's running this show out of Florida. I'm in Memphis, Tennessee. Cam is in Florida. Monica is in British Columbia, Canada, and Paul Fromm, who's going to be on today, he's also in British Columbia, and so we're going to bring you a wonderful show. We really are. But, you know, before we go any further, if you know, Blood River Radio, we always have a prayer because we are a white Christian radio show, and I think that that's probably been, well, I know that's been the secret of our success because we had enough money to go for 1 year when we started this program in October of 2018. So we're going, believe it or not, I can't believe we're in our fourth year. Anyway, people, if you will, bow your heads because we're going to say a quick prayer. Almighty God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Eddie Miller, Blood River Radio, the God of Cam, who's running this show tonight, Liberty News Radio, God, if you will, continue to bless Blood River, bless Cam, bless his family, all of our families, bless all of our guests around here tonight. If you will, Lord, like we always pray here, please give us the wisdom and the discernment to know exactly how to fight this enemy that is against us. We know who the enemy is, Lord. It's that same old enemy that said, God, who told Pontius Pilate, give us Barabbas. That's the same enemy. Those people, oh Lord, are the same enemy that we have had, you know, all these years. Oh Lord, just tell us how to fight them. And Lord, please give us, we always pray also, Lord, please help us with the courage, the determination to never waver, to never get scared of these people. Lord, let us help us do our duty to defeat these people. That's all we ask, Lord. That's all we could possibly ask. And Lord, we ask all this in your name, in your son's name, Jesus Christ, oh Lord, who while we were yet sinners, he died on the cross for our sins. I ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. People, like we said, I'm not going to waste any more time because we have a great show lined up. And like I told our guests, and all of you people probably know by now, what I like to do, I don't like to be the center of the show. I just don't like to do that. I like to get really good people on this program that can lead us in the direction that Blood River wants to go. And I'll just be brief here. You people know that we started this program here, Blood River Radio, not just as a radio show, but as a white civil defense program organization. We hope to grow it ever greater into different branches, for instance, like supporting local sheriffs all of the United States, of building militias and constitutional posses, etc. But we started, Lord, to fight against global white genocide, and with our poster child for hard genocide being South Africa, the rest of the white world, Europe, Canada, New Zealand, the British Isles, Europe, Western Europe, we're all under attack. Those parts of the world are under what we call ethnic cleansing. South Africa is under hard genocide. And with that, I will just tell you one more time. We have everybody and his mama knows Monica Schaefer. She's with us all the time. And everybody and his mama also knows in this movement knows the Honorable Paul Fromm. So now I'm going to bring them on since Paul is the guest tonight. Paul, would you like to introduce the people and tell them, give them a brief bio? I know you've been in this movement for many, many, many years. So give them a brief bio, and then we'll go to Miss Monica, and you can tell the people what we're going to be talking about tonight. So go ahead, Paul.
Yes, Eddie, and first of all, let me wish you and the entire crew a very happy American Thanksgiving. We jumped the gun up here in the Dominion of Canada. Our Thanksgiving is the second Monday of October, so we've already eaten the turkey. But happy Thanksgiving to all of you, and you know, safe travel. If you're going out of your city or out of state. About myself, I've been involved in politics since 1965 in one way or another. I've run for political office a number of times. I got elected once. But my two big issues are free speech and immigration. I like to give a quick introduction, say yes, free speech and immigration. Not enough free speech and too much immigration, or maybe to be more pointed, too much third world immigration, because we as the founding settler European people of North America, whether it's the United States or the Dominion of Canada, are being replaced. And it's not accidental. It's by cold-blooded, white-hating government policies, which are included in my country, the leaders of all but one of the major parties. So they all agree on that. They may disagree on little bits and pieces around the edges, but they all agree basically that diversity is our greatest strength. And of course, we all know diversity is a code word for anti-white or white replacement. So those are my two big issues, free speech and immigration. On the free speech front, I'm involved with the Canadian Association for Free Expression. So we go involve ourselves in court cases. We also involve ourselves in supporting the many victims of Canada's anti-free speech laws or persecution. I mean, not all persecution is government persecution. You know, all sorts of people get fired for the slightest a perceived offense. You know, we have a Marxist politically correct establishment. I'll just leave off with one example. Just before I left my part of Canada, which is the province of Ontario, you know, more or less near Toronto, a 17-year-old teenage girl was fired from her position at a hospital. She would be taken on as a co-op student. And her huge offense, she'd made that sign with her thumb and a finger, you know, O, like O-K. That is white supremacist, some lunatic said, who denounced her. And she got herself fired. We are living in insane times. Maybe I could turn it over to Monica.
Go ahead, Monica. Do we lose Monica? Monica? Okay, well, Ms. Wilk.
I had muted myself so that I wasn't making noises, and I started into a wonderful monologue. So, Paul, that story is amazing. This sign that is, I didn't even know this. The signs and symbols and words that we are forbidden to speak are changing so rapidly. I haven't even kept up with that one. So somebody makes an okay symbol and that's supposed to mean something, like that's supposed to mean that, oh, I think I'm a supremacist and so you have the right to fire me. I mean, this just takes my breath away. Honestly, go ahead.
It was totally innocent. It's like, well, let's get together for coffee break. And she just goes, makes the O symbol, okay. That has nothing to do with politics, race, or anything else, and never has. So that symbol's been around forever. I've never even heard of it being used in a political sense. And what was is interesting about the story is the rapid judgment and the total lack of justice. She's a teenage girl. I believe this is a co-op program, so they do part-time in class and part-time gain job experience. So you normally give a teenager a little bit of leeway, even if that was wrong, and it wasn't. Why not a supervisor take her aside and say, well, you know, some people are very sensitive about this, and some people think that symbol means white power or something. Handle it diplomatically. Give the girl a chance instead of the slightest offense, and you nuke them. We live in a extremely nasty, judgmental society, and we're dealing with psychopaths, I'm afraid.
I think that what happened, 100 years ago in the Soviet Union, I know that my brother Alfred talks about this a lot, that they made ever more rules. And that's pure communism, where you make ever more rules and regulations for just, when are you allowed to breathe? And now, quite literally, that is the case. I used to say that as a metaphor for how we can live our lives, that they'll make rules about breathing. And now they really do with the masks, which is rather ironic.
Well, Monica, we'll pick up on that. Yeah. Where as soon as we come back from this break, you just finish on that topic that you're on right now. Be right back, people. Join us. We have an all-star crew tonight. Eddie the Bobadil Miller bringing you a good show, our Thanksgiving show. Thank you now. Be right back.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Abombadir Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bob?
Hey, welcome back to the second segment of the first hour of this Thanksgiving show. Just in case any of you latecomers are just getting in, this is a pre-recorded show because Stan and his family, and little Cameron, his family, they're going to take off for Thanksgiving. It's probably one of the most holy days in the United States and Canada, because in one reason, I think, you know what, it's really skipped over. The powers that be, they diminish Thanksgiving more and more each year. It's, It's diminished more and more and more. And all these Jewish stores, these giant firms, they start putting up Christmas decorations, hell, almost right after Halloween. And it's not because they revere our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because they love our holidays. It's because they like to sell us more of their worthless junk. And they want to get rid of Thanksgiving because this here, North America, was settled by Anglo-Saxon white Germanic people, white people, Christians. There was not one Jew, not one Muslim, not one black, not one yellow, not one brown, nobody. It was straight up white Christians that settled this here North American continent, United States of America, Canada, and that's why they hate it so bad. Now with that, I'm going right back. Our two wonderful guests we have on the night, Miss Martha, Monica Schaefer, my little sister, and my little brother in arms, Paul Fromm. Monica was speaking, and we're going to go right back to her. Go ahead, Monica.
Yeah, I've actually lost my train of thought now on whatever was going on before the break. But why don't you had mentioned beforehand that Paul was quite an expert on this Thanksgiving, and you know that it is a white holiday, and I'll just comment here, it symbolizes, like, we're thanking for the food that we eat, but, and who is it, like you were just mentioning, who are the settlers, the white people? They did the work, they created the farms and built up what is needed to, you know, make us live in abundance, and that's what we're giving thanks for. And so I don't know, I would like to hand it over to Paul to comment more about that, the Thanksgiving holiday.
By the way, Fred will be coming on the second hour, and that dude knows stuff that I never even heard of, so he'll greatly add to what we're speaking about now. But go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I think we should be absolutely unashamed about celebrating our culture, and Thanksgiving is I believe started in the United States with among the early settlers and spread to Canada. I don't think we should have to be under any obligation to be anything but ourselves. It was white people who started it. It's white people who developed it. And I think we should celebrate it. And our celebrations don't have to be diverse or inclusive. Nobody's prevented from celebrating Thanksgiving, but regardless of their background. But we shouldn't, politically correct mob want to basically suppress our culture. If they can't twist it, they want to suppress it. We've been fighting this battle for 40 years about Christmas, but I think it's maybe a good time to mention this. It is a war. The organized Jewish lobby have been making war on Christmas for 40 years. It started, actually maybe a bit more than that, it started back in the late 40s and 50s with a subtle change from Christ to things like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and just sort of secular symbols. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, nothing against Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or city bells or anything like that. But that was the beginning. But then maybe 25, 30 years ago, it became much more pointed. We were told that Christmas was we had to drop that name and talk about seasons or holidays and so on. The reason was that it was not inclusive. Well, it's hard to imagine any celebration that we have that is more inclusive. I would say probably about 90% of the population, maybe even more, celebrates Christmas. Most from a religious point of view, but some people from just a cultural or secular point of view. We shouldn't have to give up that name, Christmas. I regularly send cards back to people. If they send me a season's greetings card, I sent one back to my real estate agent a couple of years ago. What I did is he sent me season's greetings or something like that. So I put it in a larger Christmas card and said, "This is a Christmas card. I know you were brought up a Catholic. I'm a Christian, and I don't celebrate a season. Seasons up here are cold. I don't like snow. It's not a holiday. It's Christmas." if you can't gag out the word Merry Christmas, keep your card. Well, I got a card back from him. He was really shocked. He was really apologetic. You know, sometimes I think people are very conformist that, you know, other businesses are saying happy holidays or season's greetings. Well, I'll do that too. So, you know, I thought I was relatively nice to him, but I've turned him around completely. I mean, he celebrates Christmas too with his wife and kids. He's not celebrating a season or something. And I get dunning letters from various charities. So I don't intend to give to most of these anyway, but so I send it back in their business reply envelope that they're raising money for the season. And I say to them, you know, if you can't respect this event, that's Christmas, in big letters, don't count on me for a contribution. You know, show respect. Anyway, that's the way I handle it, and I get to have a bit of fun, too.
I'd like to salute you for your courage in doing that. Very few people would do even the smallest a courageous act nowadays because they're so afraid of being called one of the alphabet soup names, you know, homophobe, heterophobe, you know, you name it, you know, racist. But back to you, Monica.
Yeah, I mean, that real estate agent is a perfect example of somebody who wasn't really even thinking about these issues when he bought his set of Christmas cards, which weren't actually Christmas cards. And so when you sent that back to him with that explanation or those, you know, queries, those questions, it made him think, this is excellent. This is what we have to do every day. This is how we have to challenge the whatever the current narrative is. This is how we have to challenge the political correctness that's dictating to us what we can say and what we cannot say. So those are little things we can do every day, and everybody can do these things. You know, sometimes people ask me, well, I can't really make a difference. What can I do? But yes, everybody can do these things. Everybody can become more aware of what's going on and then do these little things, take little actions, and you know, then you can take bigger actions from there. But I think that's just excellent. Good story there, Paul.
Really, I think good. So too. And, you know, we're always talking about solutions on this show. Monica knows well about that. And that is to whether or not people will recognize it, no matter how small an act, that might seem like a small act, but that is part of a solution. That really is. Go ahead, Paul.
But yeah, you know, I think sometimes the problems we face are so big that we tend to be invited, I think, by the devil, to be discouraged. You know, if you can't change our mind, at least make us so discouraged we don't want to do anything. But it's quite true. It's true. None of us can do everything, but every one of us can do something. And I think these little acts of resistance have an effect, and you never know where it will pay off. I do know that organized Christian groups have been fighting on the Christmas front for a number of years, and some major corporations have backed down and actually use the word Christmas for the excuse to try to hustle all their junk on us at this time of year. I think it's really important to speak up, and first of all, in your own personal life, if you send out cards, send out, make sure they say Merry Christmas. I had another interesting event. I I'm a supporter of the Canadian Wildlife Federation. So I got a big package which had some notepads and address stickers, and also 12 cards. 10 of them wished season's greetings, 2 Merry Christmas. And they're all good. They're very nice cards. And the idea is, you know, I would send them a donation card.
Paul, we have to go to a break. I hear that music.
Okay.
We'll go right back to you as soon as we come back from this break. Dear people, hold on just a minute. We're going to a break. And we come back, we'll go right back to Mr. Paul Fromm joining us in here from Canada today.
exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The three men charged in the killing of Ahmaud Arbery in Brunswick, Georgia, has reached closing arguments in the racially charged trial. Gregory McMichael, his son Travis McMichael, and their neighbor William Bryan have pled not guilty. The prosecutors are due to make their final rebuttal on Tuesday before the jury begins deliberations.
This court has found that there appears to be intentional discrimination in the pound.
Superior Court Judge Timothy Walmsley. The Department of Justice on Monday reached a tentative lawsuit settlement with families of victims from a February 2018 mass shooting at a school in Parkland, Florida. 17 souls died that day when authorities failed to step in both before and during the attack, most notably the FBI. The FBI acknowledged after the massacre that it did not follow proper procedures after receiving a tip in January of 2018 that Nicholas Cruz was going to explode. Nicholas Cruz pled guilty last month to 17 counts of murder. USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allen Root. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to your health care? I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor, you choose your hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access health care because our rights come from God, not government. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. It was for me. I joined...
Hear that? That's the sound of a man guarding his home around the clock. Because he has 24/7 professional monitoring from SimpliSafe Home Security. With 24/7 professional monitoring, SimpliSafe keeps watch night and day. If there's trouble, SimpliSafe alerts him and will dispatch emergency help when needed. Protect your home in your sleep. Take 50% off a new system at SimpliSafe.com today.
An interesting statistic has come to light regarding the COVID-19 pandemic in America. More people have died this year when compared to last year.
The CDC says COVID-19 has killed more Americans this year than last year. Numbers from Johns Hopkins University show more than 392,000 people have died from COVID-19 so far this year, compared to just over 377,000 in 2020, and there's still a month to go. Altogether, more than 770,000 Americans have reportedly died from the coronavirus, with new infections rising in 38 states. Some of the biggest surges are seen in blue states, such as Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Colorado, and New Mexico. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
The mostly partisan House Select Committee investigating January 6 will issue subpoenas for InfoWars head Alex Jones and Trump ally Roger Stone. USA Radio News.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to go right back to Mr. Paul Fromm. I do believe he was the one that was speaking before we went to our break. Go ahead, Paul.
Oh, yeah. So I received these sample dozen cards. 10 of them were about season's greetings. The other two were Christmas. So I called up the Canadian Plant Life Federation and said, well, you know, I'm a bit insulted. I know the idea of this thing is to get me to make a donation for the cards, and I'm more than happy to do that. But, you know, what we celebrate in this country, the vast majority of us, is Christmas. Right? We don't celebrate a season, don't celebrate a holiday, we celebrate Christmas. And it's just respectful to provide me with cards like that. I'd like the two to mention Christmas. Could you give me 10 more? Oh, the girl said, well, we couldn't do that. I said, well, why not? Didn't get any sort of answer. I thought, rip open a couple of the other packages, select out the Christmas cards, fling them into an envelope, and send them to me. I mean, how difficult is that? I said, why is it that you send out these ridiculous seasons cards? You know, we don't celebrate the season. Well, we need to be inclusive. I said, no, you're not being inclusive. You're excluding me, and you're excluding the vast majority of us who celebrate Christmas. I said, well, she clearly either was too damn lazy to do anything or didn't have any power. I said, well, could you send your complaint further up the line? Well, what do you mean? You're a supervisor or a boss. So I haven't heard back, but you know, I think there are these little acts that we can do that cost us nothing and may educate some people. Because I actually believe, maybe not be true in the United States, that this COVID crisis has sucked the brains out of a lot of people. They can't think. I mean, honest to God, I don't know how they remember to wash their face in the morning, or maybe they don't. The complete inability to think logically about normal things, and maybe sometimes just pointing something out, like we celebrate Christmas, you know that. Well, let's acknowledge it. That would be my suggestion for easy, approachable activism. You know, you don't have to letter up a sign and have a demonstration. These are things you can do in your everyday life easily.
I couldn't agree more. You know, if nothing else, Paul, even if the COVID didn't cause it, it's the so-called response to the COVID by the cattle. And our people aren't even, they're even worse than sheep. I think they're like cattle. The response of the people here in the United States to the COVID, to the most outrageous, most illogical measures you could possibly imagine, if nothing else, it's exposed just how low the IQ on the IQ scale the American people are. Back to you, Monica.
Yeah, it's a result of decades in indoctrination, decades of demoralization, in the words of Yuri Betsmanov, the KGB defector in the late 70s, who talked about this in the 1980s, and he was amazed how far down the road of demoralization that the Americans had already become. And, you know, now it's decades later, it's just that much worse. So it's this deception, you know, by way of deception, thou shalt make war. Now, whose motto is that? That happens to be the Mossad motto. Their motto is not, oh, we should, you know, uphold truth and, you know, do good things in the world. No, it's by way of deception, thou shalt make war. And this is what's going on now. And when I talk about war, see, we are in a war right now. But most people don't actually realize it because it's not the quote unquote conventional war of bombs falling over on our heads and whatnot. But it is a war nonetheless, like we have it in the form of the weather warfare. And I do want to touch upon that if I get a chance to in this show today, because we're experiencing this in British Columbia right now, full force, and it's having a real effect on everything. They are wanting to starve us, you know, in the long run, actually not too long run. And then of course this COVID stuff, this is an actual, I would say, a physical war on us, but a lot of people are going along with it because it's all done for your safety, for your health, you know, get this injection, this experimental poison injection, you know, gene altering injection, and you know, they call it the vaccination. My goodness, it's poison, and they are wanting to weaken the people such that they, when they do wake up, and people are waking up in droves now. This is the boot across the neck that Yuri Betsmanov talked about. You know, that people actually, when they've been demoralized and indoctrinated for so long, that you can lead them by the hand and show them what is going on, but they will not believe it. They will just not believe simple, concrete facts right in front of their eyes until the boot is across the neck. And I would say that this is the boot across the neck, this COVID stuff. And actually, I'm looking out the window right at this moment, and I was just talking about the weather warfare, and there I see a plane laying down a big track across the sky. They have been spraying us like insects, and they've been doing it for quite some time. And if I may, Eddie, I'd like to tell you a little bit about what's going on in British Columbia with the
please weather. Please do.
Yeah, so last summer there was the heat dome, and they announced that there would be a heat dome before it even hit, and right away all my red flags went up, thinking, oh, this is a new buzzword. I haven't heard that one before. They're bringing this to us. And indeed, they did. They do it with a combination of spraying these chemtrails out of the the planes, and then their HARP, that's the, what does that stand for? High altitude, auroral.
Radio.
There's two A's and then RP. I've written it down and I've just misplaced that piece of paper. But anyway, it's this frequencies that they do.
HARP.
Yeah, it's HAARP. That's right. I was just going to tell the listeners what that stands for, and I'll find it and I'll say it later. But anyway, so now in November, they brought us these atmospheric rivers. I had never heard of that term either. These are these new buzzwords for their weather events that they bring. And so what this has done now is bring massive flooding. For a while, all the roads in the lower mainland, like Vancouver, was basically cut off. And then there's a pipeline that's become exposed. They don't say it broke or leaked, but they shut that down. I'm not sure if it's still shut down. Then they shut down the whole entire port of Vancouver. This is the largest port in Canada, bar none. And I'm not sure if it's still shut down or not. Maybe Paul has heard, I don't know, but they did shut that down. But they don't really talk very much about that in the mainstream media. They're pretty quiet about all these things. But meanwhile, they're just cutting off the supply lines. And this is going to have a major effect on a lot of people, not just in British Columbia. I think it'll affect, you know, people further east and also further south. So this is weather warfare. And the Coquihalla Highway, which is a pretty major highway, it's been definitely major damage there. And some people have talked about this taking years to fix, not just days or weeks. So there are major things going on here. And then I wanted to say that what they say in the mainstream media is, this is climate change. This is what's causing all these problems, this, you know, the heat dome and the fires and then the flooding. It's climate change, and we are, you know, we individuals are responsible for putting too much carbon out there. And it's nothing could be further from the truth. It's their weather warfare. They are manipulating the weather. So that is the only climate change that's going on, is what they are doing with their weather manipulation. I'll hand it over back to one of you.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yes, I fear that I come to the same conclusion, but maybe for a little different reasons than Monica. I'm totally prepared to believe that the massive flooding and landslides that occurred about 10 days ago in the lower mainland along the Fraser River were just one of those fluke storms that occurs, you know, maybe once every 75 years. I don't see it as being caused, but I do see the political mafia making a lot of use of that. Now, they're already blathering on about climate change, and so if you don't like all these disruptions and the flooded roads and et cetera, and all the thousands of lost dairy cattle, you know, we've got to do something about global warming or continue that.
Yes, I'm glad you heard the music for the break, Paul. People, we'll go right back to Paul after this quick break.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at bloodriverradio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Well, dear people out there in Blood River Radio land, this hour has really gone by, but thankfully we've got these same two guests, Miss Monica Schaefer and Mr. Paul Fromm are going to be with us the second hour after this break right here. We'll also bring on our brother Fred Leutcher on the second hour. But anyway, we'll go right back to you. I think you were speaking, Paul. Go ahead.
Yes. What I found interesting is that the mayor of one of the towns that was affected, the mayor of Abbotsford, was interviewed and was telling about the damage, et cetera. And he said, this is the worst flooding since the big storm of 1948. And I thought, bingo, this has happened before. The climate change fanatics will want to say, see, this is all climate change. No. These things happen. There's the right conditions occur, maybe once a century or once every 75 years, that produce a very, very severe rains over a short period of time and flooding. Okay, but that's not climate change. This happens. In my part of the country, back in 1957, we were hit with a hurricane, Hurricane Hazel. Now, it did an awful lot of damage, flooding, about 60 people were drowned, and so on. The people back then didn't say, we'll probably have another hurricane next year. Actually, people read their history and realized that this had been the first time in over 100 years that we'd been hit by a hurricane. We're not like the American Gulf Coast, gets a lot of hurricanes. There will be a climate aberration once, every 100 or so years. And yeah, you have to adapt to that, and we did adapt. We took steps to do a lot more planting in the headwaters of the two rivers that run through Toronto. So should another very severe storm come along, the soil up there be able to absorb a fair deal of the water. but that's my worry that last summer's fires. And this flooding will be used as an excuse for, we have to fight climate change, and that means many more restrictions and a reduced standard of living. I mean, our enemies basically want us to give up gas, diesel, oil, and natural gas, and survive on windmills and solar power. It's just not practical. It's basically an attack on us and our way of living, and that collection of nutters that gathered in Glasgow commits to $100 million transfer to the third world. You see, this is a wealth siphoning scheme. We've got to give up to help them fight climate change. Well, there's nothing to fight.
It also plays right into the guilt complex.
Yes, it does.
It's right. All about guilt, and of course it's white guilt because we're the ones who supposedly have done all the damage according to their lies. Yeah, and just that harp that we were talking about before the break, it's High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. That's what that stands for. And sure, I agree with Paul about the outcome of how they're, you know, blaming climate change and all this. But, you know, the fact of the matter is they are doing weather manipulation. I came across a site the other day that showed patents that were received or, you know, applied for and received since 100 years, actually, for weather, you know, cloud seeding, things that they would spray out of airplanes. This actually blew my mind because I didn't realize how long this has been going on. Mind you, they have ramped it up in the last 10, 15 years. And all you have to do is just look up in the sky, and most every ordinary person can see it if you can, you know, peel back the blinders that these are not condensation trails. Like condensation trails, I mean, I've argued this point with people, say, oh, that's just a contrail. No, sometimes you'll see ordinary contrails, condensation, they disappear within 5 or 10 seconds behind the plane, but these things, they spread out like cotton candy. And on days where they really want to, you know, block the sun out, the whole sky by the afternoon has this silvery, like a veil. It's just, you know, sometimes you just don't get that blue sky anymore when you know darn well that on, you know, certain days when you started out with this beautiful blue sky and these are not natural clouds that form, it's just this veil. So they are controlling the weather. They've talked about it for decades. They talk about weather warfare. You know, if you control the food, you control the people. And if you control the weather, you control the food. So anyway, that's what's going on. But yeah, in the end, they call it climate change. They blame us. It's personal guilt. They want to, like Paul says, they want to get us off of the gas, the coal, the oil, and they want to basically put us back into the cave, and they want to depopulate us. That's written right in stone, That used to be just a metaphor, but it's written in stone in the Georgia Guidestones to reduce the population to 500 million. So that's
you've
what they're
both
doing.
Nailed it. You both nailed it. You know, Rahm Emanuel, I'm sure y'all remember Rahm Emanuel. He was the so-called dual citizenship. Now, the Jew, he was the chief advisor to, you know, not only Obama, but to George Bush, to son boy Bush. And he said he was so brazen, he used to go up to President Obama, who's supposed to be the big dude, the big dog. He would crack his knuckles in Obama's ears. Obama knew who was running the show, but he's the one that he's credited with the saying, never let a good crisis go to waste. And so whether or not the weather has changed intentionally or whether it's just a natural thing, our enemies will use it for the same purpose. You're exactly right. They'll say, oh, it's climate change. It's our fault, white people's fault. White people are parasites. We have to reduce our standard of living. We have to stop farming. We have to quit raising cattle because cows fart, and they really do. They say cows farting causes the destruction of ozone layer. So like Rahm Emanuel said, they're using it to destroy white people, to distribute wealth. Y'all both named it. Y'all both nailed it. But go ahead, Paul. Or Monica, which one of you guys want to go first?
No, that's exactly it. It's an attack. What they found, and I think they started experimenting with this at least back around the early 1970s. Instead of to manipulate a people, instead of throwing thousands of people in jail and so on. What they felt they could get a lot of voluntary or stupid compliance if they scare you half to death, and then you're prepared to accept restrictions that you might otherwise not have.
True.
And so they started off in 1970 with that, and some of you with long memories may remember this. A book came out called The Coming Ice Age. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people for a year or two were worried we're going to freeze to death in a year or two. That was a dry run. And then a few years later, the Club of Rome came out with the idea of something called the Limits to Growth. And they said, we're using up all the Earth's resources. Before too long, there won't be enough food. There won't be enough. In those days, they were worried about not enough gasoline and so on. So we have to have limits to growth and strict government controls, et cetera, et cetera. And the interesting thing is it's always our fault, you see. And one of the people in the Club of Rome said that the way to bring about change is to scare people into compliance. Well, and by 1992, it was the Rio conference in Brazil. Now it was global warming. And there's a particular nasty Canadian conspirator, Maurice Strong. He was the UN's special appointee on that. And, of course, it's our fault because of global warming. Well, then more time went ahead, and by Copenhagen about 10 years ago, there's enough information come out about how the cooked science. You know, they're always telling us the science is clear. Well, actually, the science isn't clear. In fact, the truth may be more than we may be actually beginning to cool, far from getting warmer. But the idea was, it's all our fault. Climate is changing. Well, they can't lose on climate change because, I mean, one way or another, it's always changing. So, but it's our fault. What they wanted to do is to scare us into compliance. And then I saw this. It was exactly what was done with this with COVID. You know, wild stories about how there'll be piles of dead bodies in the streets and the hospitals will be overflowing and all that for an illness that has a 99.7 recovery rate. I suspect that the recovery rate from bee stings may not be much higher than that. We know what that's done. I mean, we've got zombies running around, forcing others to, or trying to force others to, the imposition of vaccines, that's been the technique, scare people to death.
And they use their apparatchiks to get their purpose through. Yes, they do. They use our people against the others. We're getting ready to go to a break in just a minute, transition into second hour, guys. You know, they're talking about, you brought up a great point, Paul. They think there's too many people. They're never worried. There's always too many white people. There's always too many of us. You know, I was listening to a program the other day. Did you know in the lower United States, 29 states in the United States, there were more white deaths than there were births. There's 5 million less white people than this census, the past census, than there was the previous census. So between those 10 censuses in the United States of America, we have lost 5 million white people. And at the same time, the population of colors in the United States and Canada, too, I'm sure, has just exploded off the charts. But go ahead with take us. We'll be going to a break any second. Monica, go ahead. What do you think about that while we got time?
Absolutely. You're absolutely 100% right that they use fear as a weapon because it lowers our health, our resistance, it lowers our frequency. And they try to inject us with this thing, no hope, no future. And they inject that into us because then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. We must reject that notion that there's no hope, no future. And I know hear the music there.
Yeah, we're about to run out of time. People, hold on. We're going to transition to the second hour. We'll get the same wonderful guest on. Plus, we're going to be picking up our little brother, Fred Leutcher. Be right back after this break.